All right. Hello, this is Tony Barini, and I have the very fortunate opportunity to meet with Mr. Jim Wigfall today. He is the Vice President of the Shared Services Group for Boeing, and he is so kind to take some time out of his day to basically share some leadership skills, lessons learned, or whatever comes to mind. And with no further ado, again, I'd like to welcome everybody to this podcast series, What Leaders Say. And I'd like to turn it over to Jim Wigfall.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that. Delighted to be here and be able to share a few of my thoughts and kind of what's helped me to get where I am today. Because, and I guess paramount, just the first thing that comes to mind is, a good hard day's work. I mean, a lot of times it's always good to, have your five-year plan and kind of know what you want to do on your horizon. But at the end of the day, you have to perform really well in your current assignment. And so one of the things that you need to be able to do is to go the extra mile, do the work, do some hard work. You know, if you need to show up early, stay in late, but do whatever it takes to really excel in your current assignment. And one of the things that I've always tried to do in every assignment that I've had is to make some type of a key contribution. So what it is you're doing, to identify some stretch goal that's really going to make a difference, so that I've probably had 14, 15 different roles so far at the Boeing company. And each one of those, there's something significant that I did so that people can say, oh, well, when Jim worked here, he did this. Or when he worked here, he did that. And that's really what you want to be able to do, is to build over time, a career of successes, so people can say that, oh, that's who I want on my team because, he did this and he did that. And that's the kind of environment that you want to be able to have out there, is people actually wanting you to be a part of their team because of, the way that you work, how you get along with people, those types of things that kind of distinguish you, differentiate you from others. And another thing that helped me is volunteering. So, you volunteer to do extra things and to do more. One, lets your boss know that you want to do more for the organization, that you want to contribute, but then also lets them know that, you're someone that really wants to make a difference. But also, one of the key things that it does, it gives you visibility. Because once you start doing more things, the more people get to see who you are and what you're able to do. As I mentioned, the various assignments that I've had at the company, I only went looking for one of them. And all the rest of them, people came to me and said, hey, Jim, can you come over here and do this? Or can you do that? And it was because of that visibility that I had established and the relationship that I had made, and my work ethic and everything that people had seen. And so it's all of those kinds of things that really made a difference. And so, volunteering to do more things, one, like I said, it helps your boss get to know that you want to make a difference, but then also get you out and get you more visible to a lot of different things and people and the organization. You get to learn more about what the organization's doing and a lot of its goals.
I think that's great. I see a lot of young professionals out there, and I think they may work hard, but it's kind of like what my father used to say when I was young. He used to say, you can work hard, but work in a closet and no one sees you. It really doesn't do any good. So mm-hmm. The key component is you got to work hard, but kind of get the exposure, i.e. by volunteering and doing all these other little things. And when you're kind of in that role, people see maybe a different side to you other than just pure work. Mm-hmm. Where you get to know people, they get to know you, your guards aren't necessarily up, and based upon that, you develop these bonds and relationships with other people, and they say, that's the kind of person I want working for my team.
Exactly.
Versus being an unknown. So I think that that's in this podcast series, that's the kind of stuff that where I do see a lot of people that work hard, but it's that they're reluctant to volunteer their time other than just doing, quote, the work.
Exactly.
And that last maybe 10%, like you said, just giving that little extra makes a huge difference. That's a good point.
Exactly. Yeah, and then, then along with that, then, you're going to need to have some really good personal skills that you bring to the table that are going to help you do things. So as you do that, now your work statement's going to grow and you're going to have a lot more coming at you. And so you have to figure out, how can I get through things? And so like one of the things that I have what I call the four D's. And so as soon as something comes to me, I make the determination if I'm going to do it right then. then I'll get it done. But if I'm not going to do it right then, can I delete it? Something I can just throw away, some junk mail? Or is it something that I can delegate, give it to, someone else that works for me or someone else on my team to take care of? Or if I'm going to date it and get back to it, let's say that I'm going to do it on Friday and I put it aside till Friday to pick it back up, but figure out a way so that you can actually get through the volume of things that comes through. As one thing, say we're so connected, whether it's email, things that are coming through, you're getting a ton of information, requests, and data that is coming at you, and you have to be able to figure out quickly what you're going to be able to do, how you're going to be able to do it, and get it done. And by doing that, then that gives you a little bit more bandwidth, a little more time, and then you're able to volunteer for those things, take on different things like that. And so also it's how you show up, and so you also need to, it's not just working hard, but it's working smart, so that you are able to hopefully then take care of all the things that you need to be able to do.
That's an interesting point, because it seems like with today's technology, you would think you'd have more free time because you got the computer and all that, but it seems like more people expect more out of you. Therefore, you have more email, you got more to-do list, you got all this other stuff. So I've never heard of that concept, but I love that 4D concept, because some things need to be done now.
Right.
They don't need to be put off. Some things we procrastinated on, but it's something that easily you could delegate that to someone else's, I call unique ability, so to speak. If that's to that individual, they'll do a better job than you. And I like the delegate component with of delegating it to the right people, unique ability. And then the day part of it is maybe it's something you need to do, but that's a great concept. I've never heard of that before. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and part of it, so if I were to think about one of the big challenges that we have right now is developing our pipeline. Because right now, today, a large percentage of our leaders can retire within the next 5 years. And so we need to make sure that we're developing our pipeline and actually having leaders that are ready when we need them to step up. And one of the things that we often tend to not do is to delegate and empower other people to do things. And so also by having that in your forefront, knowing that, I need to delegate, I need to give other people opportunities, you're also helping them grow, giving them opportunities so they'll be ready to be able to step up into your shoes as you move forward. And so in addition to one, it helping you disperse the work and get the work done, you're also improving and developing, your pipeline so that then more people on your team get the requisite skills that they need so they can then take on greater opportunities that come to them.
Well, and that what you just said is totally awesome, but it for me, it goes back to the volunteering component. Is if you're volunteering, people within the organization realize that this person's willing to take on additional responsibility without having to be told, and in the process maybe getting more delegation to you, if people know that you're willing to step up and give that a little extra, maybe the boss will say, here's a component. We need to delegate this. Who do we want to delegate it to? Well, let's give it to Jim Wigfall, because here's somebody that wants to do the little extra, that wants to volunteer his time for the organization or whatever it might be. So that's the other perk or bonus of volunteering, where maybe people would be more receptive to delegate more to you.
No, exactly. I agree 100%. And then also, part of that is how you show up. And, you need to show up and be able to, the way I like to look at it is, what would you do if someone's not looking? And so, because you're always in a fishbowl, because actually, so everyone's always looking. And so you need to govern yourself and carry yourself in a way, in a manner that would be accepted by everyone all the time. And plus, by doing that, you're also creating an environment where people want to work with you, because if you're working with people in a nice way, getting on with people, treating them courteously, they're going to treat you courteously, and you're going to be looked at as someone that can work well on teams, and so the people are going to want you to be part of their team. And so not knowing who's looking, if you're always putting your best foot forward, then they're always going to see your best foot. A few years ago, before I was promoted to a vice president, I was a director in IT, and one of our senior vice presidents came to me and asked if I wanted to work on his team and be promoted to a vice president. And, you know, it's, sure, of course, you know, definitely. And what he'd said, though, was that he was actually in the audience of a presentation that I made, and he was pleased with how well that I presented myself and how well I made the presentation, that I was the type of person that he'd like to have on his team. And I couldn't tell you what that presentation was, couldn't tell you when he was in the audience. However, at that time, I put my best foot forward. He saw the best side of me, and it created a great opportunity. And that's one of the things that people also need to work on is their soft skills. And so whether it's written skills, verbal, but you need to be able to communicate well and effectively and efficiently, because a lot of people like to go on with pretty elaborate notes, and you have to realize that people really need to be brief and be gone. And so make sure you get your point across well and effectively. But it's those kind of things that helps create then that whole person that individuals want to have to be part of their team.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Going back to this fishbowl concept always basically looking your best or putting your best foot forward. What I see out there in general is there's a lot of people. It's the perception of front stage, i.e., here's the curtain, here's the spotlights, roll camera, so to speak. But backstage, when the lights are turned off, they just perception is they can let their hair down or whatever. But the reality is, if you're going to be a leader, you've got to be a leader 24/7.
Exactly.
Is what I hear. It's not just when the lights are turned on. It's not just when you're given a presentation. You basically have to act as a leader all the time, because you don't never know who's looking.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that's an impression that you've made upon me. It's definitely helped me. That lesson learned from you that you've shared, been so gracious to share with me. I've shared that with a lot of people. And that's also was in the code. We talk about the fishbowl concept, which obviously we've got your name in there and you endorsed the book. But that is, so many people are not really thinking about the big picture of, hey, we need to be sensitive to other people are looking. And I like that concept of the soft skills and communicating. And it seems like a lot of people want to use fancy words and they want to get real long-winded, but it's kind of like the elevator speech.
Exactly.
Tell me what you do for a living, and I'm going to the second floor in the elevator. You don't have a lot of time.
Yep.
So I think that, again, you don't have to communicate long-winded. People remember short and sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And then, another thing to throw out there to think about is that in our environment, there's a lot of things going on, and it's pretty hot and heavy, and there are a lot of deadlines and things, and so you could get flustered. However, you want to be able to present a very calm demeanor, and so a little quote that I have that I kind of use all the time is, never let them see me sweat. And so regardless of what's going on, I'm still that cool, calm, collective guy that, okay, so let's understand what the problem is. Let's understand, okay, this is what we're going to need to do to be able to get past this and be able to move on and come across very calm. Reflecting on some of my previous leaders and everything, and I had this one leader a few years ago, and one of the things that he told me was, he can't tell when he pisses me off. And, with a straight face, I just looked right back at him and said, okay. Because to me, that was a credit to me, because I don't want him to know when he can piss me off, because, in the work environment, if people know what your buttons are, they're going to be pushing them. Because if they know they can get you on, sidetracked or get you spun up or whatever, they're going to do it, because then they're just going to deflect. So, they're no longer the center of attention, or get you, off on something else instead of worrying about the situation at hand. And so always, create that demeanor that, I'm able to, handle everything that's coming my way. And now granted, I may be, that duck on the pond that's floating across looking like this majestic swan, but underneath my feet are going a mile a minute. All I want you to see is that nice, beautiful swan going across the lake and not knowing what's going underneath. And so, I always try to, keep that that same demeanor.
Well, where did, you know, let me just say this. I mean, I've known you for, 35 years or more. You and I go way back, a long time, and you've always had that demeanor. You've way back when, and obviously you've that's something that's innate with you. That's something that's you obviously have a great skill. But how do you? Is there a secret? Do you have a secret? Do you think sweet thoughts? Do you think sweet? You know, because again, most people are controlled by their emotions, and there's lots of books out there that talk about, you know, emotions are contagious. You know, if you got a lot of enthusiasm, it breeds enthusiasm. If there's a lot of anger, it breeds anger. But that attribute, that skill of being calm, cool, and collective, no matter what, is it's not easy, especially when you're dealing with people that are upset. You know, and again, Boeing's got 160,000 people, 80,000 in Seattle, 7,500 here in Charleston. You deal with, Lord knows, all kinds of people from all walks of life. But I'm not sure how you, that's a wonderful skill, but is a secret that you have for that?
I wouldn't call it a secret. And it's just, and of course, you know, over time, you know, you refine it as you go along. But I just think, you know, early on, just realized that, well, I mean, for me, I mean, so there's several things I'm sure that I can attribute to. I mean, my dad being, you know, he's a retired master sergeant in the Army. And so, you know, if you remember the old movie, Officer and a Gentleman with Louis Gossett Jr. and, you know,
Richard Gere.
You know, so if you think about that character that Louis Gossett Jr. played, that's the kind of guy that my dad was. I mean, 6'5", svelte, you know, demanding type of a leader. And so I think just early on, you know, I knew that, one, I didn't want to excite him. but you know, one of the things I can say, you know, in my years of experience, I've yet to have anyone yell at me. And now granted, you know, when we'll take the college aside, because that's a whole different story. I mean, at the Citadel, if they weren't yelling at you, you weren't doing something right. But as a professional, in my professional life, and I think it's how you show up and how you treat people, how you interact with them. And so if someone, and you can, and, you know, you can tell someone's starting to get a little elevated and get a little excited, and so you say, hey, you know, okay, I understand this is kind of getting to you a little bit. Let's, you know, let's figure out, you know, how we can, you know, move forward and you know, not get too excited about things, and just kind of diffuse the situation and be able to have a normal conversation and be able to move past it. But you know, every organization and environment's different. And you know, one of the things that I recommend that people look at is to get mentors and to get people that they can one, bounce things off of, because in some organizations. And it could be, you know, if you're not yelling, you know, they don't think you're effective. I mean, so if, you know, if you're in that kind of environment, you're going to need to know that, because you're going to need to do that. But fortunately, that's not, you know, the work environment that I've been accustomed to. But, I mean, there's those out there. So you need to have mentors, folks that you can interact with. And, I mean, I have several proteges that I mentor today. And I have several mentors that I still call on for advice. And so, and you can never have too many of them, because you're never going to know what that situation is going to be that comes up where you're going to need to call on them. But to your point about a secret, I wouldn't say it's a secret. It's just that, you know, I try to treat people the way I want to be treated, and I've always really kind of let that lead me and be my guide. And fortunately, as a result of that, it's enabled me to you know, to have that demeanor. But don't get me wrong. I mean, even though I'm you know. You have that cool demeanor. I, you know how to, you know, motivate teams and get people excited and doing things. And I mean, we spend the majority of our lives at work. And so if we can't add a little humor in there from time to time, you know, what does that say about, you know, our lives? And so, you know, I interject humor and things like that. So it's not, you know, don't want you to think that it's a deadpan kind of a thing, just this, you know, monotone thing going through life. But it's just a matter of when things heat up, to be able to, you know, stay calm and you know, just never let them see you sweat.
No, and I agree. I'm not saying it's boring, But again, it's, you know, what you don't have is the extreme where people are walking on eggshells worrying about, the boss might see me and he's going to lose his temper. Or, you know, there's an emotional roller coaster. There's a lot of people out there that some of them are like ticking walking bombs or whatever, you know, because they're ruled by their emotions. And I agree with you. To me, I'm not saying this is the secret, but not putting words in your mouth. It's something that is, I think, what our listening audience, maybe it's just something I'm trying to help them as far as how do they take, you know, how do they learn this attribute. I think it's awareness. Is you're aware that you want to maintain your cool, where most people are not even aware of their emotional state. So maybe it's just a matter of just being aware of your emotional state. And if you're upset, be aware that you're upset. Know that you're upset, and maybe that's not the best time to be talking to someone else. Maybe you just have to have some deep breaths or something like that. But again, I see so many people that are ruled by their emotions, and then again, you know, they become a slave to their mind or their emotional state. And again, like that's wonderful about, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. That's a simple concept. Don't lose your cool, simple concept, but maybe it's just being aware. And I tell people all the time, same thing, you know, it's the golden rule is treat others the way you'd want to be treated.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think self-awareness is key. It's paramount because, you know, if you don't know and have control of your own emotions, you know, you're basically out of control. And I think you're spot on when you say that. No, definitely. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. So at this stage of your career, what are you in? You spend a lot of time mentoring and you have role models. And I think that's something I just want to elaborate on a little bit. The importance of the people that are listening to this, that, you know, a lot of this stuff you can, you know, obviously you can go to the bookstore, but, you know, look around and find people that are good role models. Because a lot of this stuff, you know, it's when you get in a bad position, if you can, instead of trying to go back to the book, if you can just say, well, how would a successful person or how would a good leader in this situation, what would he do? And if you ask yourself that question because you've seen what they do, that's a whole lot better than trying to remember, I read that chapter 7, and, you know, that sometimes doesn't work.
Exactly.
But yep. A visual picture of what would a successful leader or person do in this situation, that would be, you know, because I'm sure a lot of the people that see you and how you conduct yourself, hopefully, and again, the goal is when you've gone into an organization, you've left a legacy, if you will, to where the place is better than what it was before you went there, and that you've created this role model where you've mentored people to move up. And when you're gone, you've kind of, they've had a good role model picture of you and what you've done.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, because, you know, a lot of times we don't remember names and dates and things like that, but we remember stories and things we've seen, and it's those kinds of things that stick with you. And so, you know, if you remember that time when, you know, you did X, or you remember, you know, seeing somebody the way they did something, you know, those visual things that, you know, get imprinted, you remember a lot more. And then when you need it, you know, you can call on those things to help you to reflect on. Definitely.
I agree. No, that's wonderful. This is amazing. This is all good stuff. Again, just recapping real quickly, you know, emotional control, fishbowl, good days work, volunteering. I think that's huge. Personal skills, making sure that you're aware of that. I like the 4 D's. How do you show up? The soft skills, I think that's a key component. Making sure you communicate well and effectively. Don't let them see you sweat. I think that's a great concept. And treat others the way you'd want to be treated. Is there anything else you think at this point? Because we're at 24 minutes, and obviously the goal of this is to keep it below 30. Is there any other things that you'd like to tell our listening audience out there, that any other words of wisdom you think that might help them get to the next level or become a more effective leader?
Yeah, and I guess the last thing I'd say is, you know, take time for yourself. And so whether it's You know, you go to the gym in the morning to get a good workout in. Like one of the things that I do, we all talk about work-life balance. And, you know, to me, that's a relative term. If you ask me, my life is very balanced. If you ask my daughter, she'd probably say my dad's a workaholic. But it's a relative thing, and it's what works for you. And for me, I get up in the morning, I get a good workout in before I go off to work. Then, you know, put in a good day's work. I'm on four different boards that I support in the community. And so on any given day, there's some type of board meeting or some type of event I'll have in the evening. And then, you know, go home, relax, you know, have a nice dinner and, you know, get recharged and ready for the next day. But taking time for yourself, you know, we're talking about, you know, if you get to a point and if you control your emotions, you kind of know what's going on, then you're going to go work it out in, you know, in the gym to release, you know, if you need something to, you know, release, you know, some of the tension or whatever, or, you know, go to the driving range and whack some golf balls, you know, but, you know, do something that you know that you can always fall back on that's going to give you that out, that release, so you don't, you know, so then you can control when you want to be able to let loose, so to speak. But that'd be the last thing I'd say is to, you know, take care of yourself because, you know, your body's, you know, the number one temple. And so, you know, do the right things to, you know, some people say sleep's overrated, but whatever, you know, you need the right amount of sleep that works the best for you, you know, to get that ample time in. And then, you know, whether you get a good workout in or something. And I would encourage everyone to try to get to the gym. I do it every morning, so then I don't have to worry about it in the evenings if I have a dinner or whatever, that kind of stuff. I just know it's up to me to wake up when I wake up and then get in the gym, work out, get that in, and then head into work. But that'd be the last thing that I would leave with everyone.
I think that's great because at the end of the day, to be successful, I will just tie it in. I mean, the importance of you got to have balance and take time for yourself because I think leaders look like leaders. I don't know what it is, but it seems like most leaders I know in the business community, they just have a certain appearance. And it's their clothes are right, their appearance is right. They don't look, and they take pride in themselves. And I think maybe that's the balance component of part of being balanced is taking time to make sure that they do work out, that they are in fact eating right so that they're, you know, again, able to perform at a high level. So that's a great comment about take time for yourself.
Excellent.
Well, thank you for listening. And again, I'd like to say a special thanks to Jim Wakefall and Vice President of the Shared Services Group for Boeing. And thanks for sharing your words of wisdom today.
My pleasure, Tony. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Let's see.